Okay. Amen. Can you guys all hear me now? Do I have to push the rewind button and say it all again? There's no commercials, so we're not having any sponsors right now, so there's no commercials. And okay. Thank you very much. Again, thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me. Okay. Let me put this bad boy on and... Can you guys hear me better? Okay. Praise the Lord for some technology, amen. Amen. I'm not all for technology, but if it's a good use for ministry, praise the Lord for that. Again, thank you very much for having us, and sure is a blessing to be here and make new fellow friends and to get some prayer support. And we do have a display table out in the back area. After the service, I would love for you to take a look at our display table. It does have a few information about the Navajo Nation, and most of you probably know the Navajo Code Talkers. Back when World War II started, the Americans and their allies would try to take over islands in Japan and in Germany. They would crack the code of they would crack all the codes, and they would have to pull back for losing a certain amount of men. And they discovered that there was a language that nobody knew, and that was the Navajo language. And the Navajos, they found out that their America, their land, were under attack. So many Navajo men volunteered to join the combat and join the army, the military, the Marines, and whatnot, and decided to use their language as a code, and pretty much translated a lot of military equipment. And Japanese couldn't crack it, the Germans couldn't crack it, and God used that to help win the war. And I thank God for that. And we do have a puzzle back there, a picture of some of the Navajo Code Talkers and stuff like that. Not for sale, but just something for you to look at. And I thank God for them. I'm so glad that I'm a Navajo. I'm glad that I could speak my language. That's one of the things that we're losing, is our language. The younger generation don't know Navajo. All the other older generation are the only ones that could speak Navajos, and they live in the rural area. And I'm praying that I would reach them and go into the mountains and give them the gospel by using my language. And my prayer is that we would save our language. And but they're pretty much wanting to save the culture or the traditional belief system than to save the language. So I could speak it. I'm 35 years old, and there's quite a few people that can speak the Navajo language. And I'm crazy enough to say this. You know, this is just humanly speaking. This is just me. I truly believe that God has the door open for Native Americans just to serve Him and give the gospel and have a great awakening with church planting and just giving out the gospel one more time before the Lord comes back. That's just what I believe. I'm crazy enough to say that. And I thank God for calling me to serve Him and be a servant of Him. And I thank God for giving me another chance. And there's about 576 Native tribes in the United States. 576, and that's a lot of culture, a lot of language. And the Navajos we have the largest population, about over 1 million Navajos that live on the four corners there. Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. Colorado, the Ute Reservation, the Ute tribe, they live in that area. But we do have Navajos that live in the Colorado Plateaus, and they call that their home as well. And there's a lot of Navajos. We are an unreached people group. We're not a 1040. We're not a 1040, but we are one of the largest unreached people group. I thank God for the ones that are on the reservation reaching the Navajo people there. But we need more servants, more more missionaries, more people to reach the Navajos, and I thank God for calling me. God used John chapter 4, the woman at the well, where Jesus met the woman at the well, led her to Himself, and she took that salvation and took it back to her people, the Samaritans, and told her people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And many believed, and many came to Jesus, and many got saved. Through that scripture, God told me to turn around and reach my people and just give them the gospel. And I thank God for that. When I surrendered to the mission field, I just had a burden for Native Americans. I wanted to help reach the Sioux Indians, the Black Indians, just different tribes in the United States. But God told me, no, you take the word of God and take it to your people and give your people the word of God and just give them the salvation. And I'm just so glad that I'm able to do that and serve. Let me set this straight. God don't need me. You know, God don't need me. You know, I need Him. And God gave a lot of illustration on where He don't need us. You know, He used a donkey, you know, and God used a raven. God used a staff. God used a rock. And God even used a dead man, Lazarus. So that I got to get myself, you know, sometimes put myself in check and say, hey, God don't need me. I need Him. And I'm just glad to be able to be used and be a servant of God. And I just love God for all the stuff that He's done for me and my family. If I didn't accept Christ as my Savior at the moment where the mission, I'm a mission product. You know, I was reached through VBS. Someone invited me to VBS, Vacation Bible School. And long story short, I just live in the countryside where I herd sheep, rode horses, and played underneath a tree in a hot summer day and just drink water and just enjoyed it, just enjoy the outdoors. We didn't have electricity, we didn't have a TV, phone, or anything of that. Just electricity, no running water, we just had power, and no radio, no TV, so we just outdoors with animals and stuff like that, horses, cows, and sheep and stuff like that. That was just my normal daily living. And a missionary came, knocked on my door, invited me to VBS. He told me, you know, hey, we're going to have games, we're going to have prizes, we're going to have preaching, we're going to have some good time, we're going to feed you, and we're going to have snow cones. You know, who would give up snow cones as a little kid? You know, I'll never give up a snow cone. You know, I used to say, hey, I'll be there, sign me up, I'll be ready. I got ready throughout the week. The Lord worked in my heart. That last day on Friday, I came forth knowing that I'm a sinner needing a Savior, going straight to hell if I don't accept Christ as my Savior. And I came forth and asked God to save me that Friday morning. I know the place. I don't know the time, but I know the place where I bowed the knee and asked God to save me. And I thank God for that. So I just hope we'll be a blessing to us, to you guys. And I'm going to have my family sing a few songs, and then I'm going to play the video, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Thank you very much for having us. I'm going to have my family come up, and we're going to sing a song in Navajo, in our language, and then sing a verse in English, and then we're going to sing another song in English, and we just pray that we'll be a blessing to you guys.
27,000 square miles, extending into the state of Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. The Navajo land runs about 186 miles of shoreline, with a long history going back as far as prehistoric times and the subsequent arrival of Spanish and European settlers. This is home to the Navajo people, with its array of more than a dozen national monuments, tribal parks, and historical sites, and peppered with a dozen lakes and ponds. The Navajo culture and traditions were much geared towards their family life. Many of the Navajo games and traditions were developed because of their love for land and their attachment to it. The games they played were mostly developed in the long winter nights, when the reservations were excluded to amuse and entertain themselves. The Navajo culture is big into ceremonies and rituals. Their performances are usually about 4 days, 2 days, or 1 day, although some chants could be as long as 9 days and require dozens of helpers. The most important ceremonies to the Navajos are the ones for treatment of ills, mental and physical. The Navajos are also very big into nature, so almost every act of their life is a ceremony of nature, including their building of the hogan or the planting of the crops. All the Navajo culture, the ceremonies are included with their songs and prayers.
Yahtzeh, my name is Aaron Nelson. I'm a Navajo from the Navajo Reservation. When you hear about the Navajo people, what goes through your mind? Do you see my people as thieves, cheaters, and liars? Just drinking their lives away, wasting so much time in life. We all have the same mind, body, and soul, but God sees my people the way we all don't. So my challenge to you is to see my people the way God sees the Navajo people. I was an ordinary, lying, cheating, rotten Navajo sinner in need of a savior. God saved me the same way God saved you, the Bible way. My life was changed when God sent a missionary my way and showed me the Bible way on how to get saved and know for sure 100% that I'm going to heaven. God began to work in my life and gave me a second chance. God called me to reach my people, so I challenge you to see my people the way God sees the Navajo people.
Haynes, missionary of the Navajo Nation since 1996. It's my privilege to recommend to you Aaron and Alarita Nelson as missionary church planters on the Navajo Nation. Brother Aaron has talked to me about wanting to start multiple churches on the Eastern Agency of the Navajo Nation. And folks, this is what it's all about. Navajo people reaching Navajo people. He's a graduate of Ganado Baptist Bible College. He served faithfully as my assistant pastor for 3 years here at Ganado Baptist. Now he and his family are ready to step out by faith and start a Bible-believing independent Baptist church in Crown Point, New Mexico. And we trust that will only be the beginning as God opens doors all in the eastern part of the reservation to start works. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider supporting them through prayer and financial giving, and I am honored to recommend them as their pastor. They'll be sent out of Ganado Baptist Church right here on the reservation. Thank you so much for considering Aaron and Alarita Nelson.
God's grace and mercy still has His hand of compassion upon my people. The Lord has opened the door for us to plant churches on the eastern side of the Navajo Nation. God has called us here to begin our first church planting ministry to fulfill the Great Commission in Crown Point, New Mexico. There are well over 3,000 souls in the surrounding of this community. There is a great need on the eastern Navajo Nation. All my people need is the love of Christ and someone to direct them back to God. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We are the Nelson family. We are sent out of Ganado Baptist Church in Ganado, Arizona, under the leadership of a longtime missionary, my pastor, Dr. Mark Haynes. I graduated at Ganado Baptist Bible College and was trained by godly men that are well serving in the area where God called them to, on the Navajo Nation. The Lord opened doors for us with the preparation of ministering in my home church, running a van route, teaching the youth department, leading music, and assisting my pastor. As the Lord uses us to plant Crown Point Baptist Church, we will start by knocking doors and go soul winning. Also start a van ministry and pick up local families, have a children's church class, and train up men to lead in their home and plant churches. As the Lord lays a burden on your heart and challenge you to step out on faith with us, and have you say, what can I do for the Lord to help reach the Navajo people? Well, you can commit to pray for us, or you can help us financially to have us on the field sooner, or you can join us as the Lord lays on your heart to go and partner with us and help reach the Navajo people.
Amen. Thank you very much again for having us.
Powering off.
There you go. Won't have any sharp, getting a sharp tune from the other mic. But again, thank you very much for having us, and hope it was a blessing, and we pray that that the Lord will bless this and get some prayer support, Lord willing, financial support, but it's all in God's will. And we have a burden for our people, the Navajos. We face the same obstacles that you guys face: drug addiction, alcohol. We have gambling. We have four casinos that were built on the Navajo reservation, and they're building another one right in the central area of the Navajo Nation. And that's the obstacles that we face. The most difficult obstacle that we face is heritage, family heritage. You know, you could talk to Navajo one-on-one and give them the gospel. They're open to it. But if you were to go to their home where families are there, elders and parents and stuff like that, they're not open to the gospel. You know, there's that spiritual wall. They partake in traditional works, and they'll have a ceremony done for them, and do the whole works. And if you get a ceremony done for you as a Navajo, there are rules that you have to go by. You have to be holy for 4 days. You cannot see a dead animal. You cannot lay in the same bed as your wife. And you cannot touch blood. You cannot be out at night. You know, those are all the stuff that we have to do when there's a prayer ceremony done for you. But they don't go by that. The next following day, they'll fall back into sin and be on that bottle again, and being out there with yoking up with the wrong people. And families would cover that, you know, put that sin underneath the rug and ignore all of that. So that's not the, you know, I don't know why it is, but they go through that as a cycle. You know, they just go in cycles with that. But what they think that would really hurt their families is turning away from who they are and turning to Jesus Christ. You know, they think that will hurt their family, so there are obstacles there. And people will ask me, what's the key? What's the ingredient? What do you got to do to reach the Navajo people? Just do what Jesus did. You know, just take this word of God and just have compassion and love for the people, and just be there to pastor them and point them in the right direction. You know, reach the families. You know, families that are in the total wreck, going the wrong direction. Put families and repair them and put them on the solid rock. Lead men to Christ and point them in the right direction, and just be a testimony to the Navajos there. And I'm just excited, and I know we'll face obstacles. I know we'll face hard times, but God's there. You know, God's there to help us go through those obstacles. God's there to prepare, provide for me and my family, and we want to do this in His name, not our name. Like I said, I'm like I said, the Lord don't need me. You know, the Lord don't need me. I don't need to put myself on a pedestal. He needs to be on the pedestal. And I'm not better than any one of you guys just because I have that missionary cross on my chest. That doesn't make me better than you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I just want to be used by Him. You know, and just be a godly servant. And I just hope that the message that I'm gonna that the Lord laid on my heart to give you tonight, well, be a blessing to you. You know, it's a practical message, something that we would hear, and something that the Lord will lay on our hearts when we first get saved and get in the church, go into a church and Bible believing church, and something that every single one of you heard. You know, but I just want to remind you and be an encouragement to you, and just be a blessing to you. You know, I'm a missionary, and I'll love to give you a mission message. I know it's Christmas. And I thank God for Christmas. That's my favorite time of the year is Christmas. You know, I don't know. It's just me. I love Christmas. I the meaning of the tree, the meaning of the ornaments, the meaning of the light, the meaning of the star, the meaning of the gift, all that points to Christ. And I thank God for that. You know, it's a free gift. And if you're a cheerful giver, praise the Lord. My wife has a list of gifts I need. I'll have her give that to you. And it does have... It does have an address at the bottom. So if you're a cheerful giver, I'll love to give you that. And but if you give grudgingly, she has a list too. So maybe you'll take hers, and just because you know, her smile and her beautiful look caught my eyes, and maybe that'll help you give cheerfully. Amen. All jokes aside, thank you very much for having us, and I just want to be a blessing to you. And I don't know. It seems like I would love to have a couple of questions and then go into the message. Is there anybody that have a question of the mission field, the Navajo people, and or maybe our deputation and stuff like that? I'll try to answer that question with the best knowledge of what I know and stuff like that. Ma'am? Yes, ma'am. She's a full-blooded, beautiful Navajo woman that God gave me. You know, I don't. God blinded her in that area. So before God opens that eye, I'm enjoying the time right now, brother, sister. I'm enjoying that time, sir.
The Navajo people, are they, because in your messages, use the word, are they very family oriented?
Yes, sir. They're very family oriented.
Okay.
And
use the word family about 5 times.
Yes, sir. Family-oriented, yes. It's oral tradition. It's passed down from word to word, and they're very family-oriented. They travel together, brother. They travel. If you invite a family from the Navajo Reservation, prepare to have a tribe come visit you, okay? Sir? Yeah. Yes, they do have public schools, just like what they have here. And they do have Navajo classes. They're in the Navajo classes. I'm for saving the language, you know, try to teach language, but they're not doing that. They'll throw a few language here and there, but what they're trying to save is their belief system, the traditional belief system, glittering world, how the world was made, the twins, the rainbows, the sacred mountains. They're trying to save that and cram that down to the younger generation and tell them not to lose that. You know, that's a lot of junk. My prayer is that God will flip that upside down and just teach Navajo language.
Where is Crown Point at?
Crown Point, do you guys know where Gallup, New Mexico is? It's about 2 hours northeast of Gallup, New Mexico. It's right at the borderline of the reservation. It's on the reservation. It's a checkerboard area. We're going to have to start from scratch. There's no Bible-believing Baptist church in Crown Point. And you name all the other churches, cult churches, LDS, Catholic, and all those other churches are there, but there's no Bible-believing Baptist church. No one fulfilling the Great Commission, and no one reaching, giving the gospel. About an hour and a half south of Farmington, an hour and a half north of I-40. The Yin, God. That's God the Father. The Yin, God beget. That's God's Holy Son. One-on-one, if you get to talk to them one-on-one, they are receptive, but they do hold bitterness to white people, you know, because of how their heritage, how their family members were treated. So you have to work at it. You just got to have a compassion and be there and love them and just break those spiritual walls down and give them Jesus. They'll open up to you, yes, sir. But among family members, it's very hard to reach them. Ma'am? I've looked, and there are a few churches in that area, and there are Navajos that live in that area. It's kind of like a mixed role with Navajos and Apaches, but there are a few churches in that area. Yes, yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Yes, I know two. Okay. Okay, one more. We had one more hand of written, then we'll get into the Word of God. Yes, sir. A circle of life. Yes, they think that we become animals, and then we become some plant from the earth and stuff like that, and we're just... I don't believe in that. The peyote system, the Native American churches believe in that, and that's not what the Bible says. But just want to give him the Word of God. So listen, thank you again very much. Thank you for those questions. I hope it was the answer you're looking for. But let's get into the Word of God. You guys came here to hear from God, not me. And I want to give you what you guys are here for. So let's go to Genesis chapter 45 this evening. And I don't want to be too long and keep you too long. It looks like right now I'm in between you and... a good evening meal, okay? And I don't want to become that meal, okay? And I like to cut up and joke with the people, but I'm a born-again Christian. I gave up scalping a long time ago, and I don't want to bring that back in because of me being in between you and the meal, okay? Amen. Thank you very much for having us. We got some good questions, and there's times where I get some silly questions, and God has a sense of humor. I thank God for that. To just have a little laughter, you know, it comforts the heart. But I got questions like, "Hey, Aaron, you're Native American. Do you still have buffaloes back on your land?" I'll tell them, "Yes, we do. We go to Pizza Hut and have buffalo wings, amen," and stuff like that. And they'll be like, "Hey, are there still cowboys and Indians on the reservation?" And I'll look at that person and say, "Hey, you've been watching too much John Wayne movies. We do play Navajo and Indians." But us Navajos, we like to be cowboys because in the movies, cowboys always win, you know, and stuff like that. And they'll raise their hand and say, "Hey, do you guys still have those wild powwows on the reservation where you have a bonfire and all these crazy Indians dancing with spears and guns and stuff like that?" I'll tell them, "Oh man, you're watching too much movies, you know. We do have powwows back on the reservation, but me, my family's powwow is pretty much a kid's disobedient, you know. When they disobey, I grab one hand and I just go pow, 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 and then the kids go wow, 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 and stuff like that. So that's the only powwow we have in our family, and it's in the Bible, and God made that for a reason. So, but those are the questions we've got, and I've answered them as best as I can, and I hope it's a blessing. Let's go to Genesis 45, and let's read verse 8, and let's all stand in honoring reading God's Word this evening, and And verse 8, I'm just going to give you a practical message tonight and remind you on what God commanded us to do when we accept Christ as our Savior. Joseph is one of my favorite character in the Bible. That's who I'm going to be talking about. And the book of Genesis is one of my favorite Bible and the favorite books in the Bible here. So in verse 8, the Bible says, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart, Lord, for giving me the privilege to serve you, Lord, and give a message and be a blessing and encourage and to challenge your people tonight, Lord. Lord, you don't need me, Lord. But Lord, I sure do need you. And Lord, your people need you tonight, Lord. All jokes aside, Lord, we sure want you to meet with us and comfort our hearts and just challenge us spiritually and physically, Lord, and bless your message, Lord, and have us apply for what you have for us tonight, Lord, and just minister for you, Lord. It's a privilege to minister for you, Lord. A God that just spoke this world into existence, Lord, and made us by the power of your hands and spoke through to have us be a living being, Lord. I thank you for all of that and dying on the cross for us and reconciling us back to God the Father, Lord, and have access back to heaven, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you speak to our hearts and remind us on missions, Lord, and remind us what we need to do what we need to be doing. And expect your coming, Lord. You are coming back, Lord. I truly believe you're coming back in my time, Lord. So, Lord, if there's one here has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, let it be today, Lord, before it's eternally too late, Lord. And if there's some here that's in need of your encouragement, that came to the church house with tears behind their eyes and achy heart, Lord, and all that's not in my business, Lord. But, Lord, I just pray that you'd use me to comfort those hearts, Lord, and answer those prayers that they have through your message, Lord. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated again. Thank you for standing. You know, there's a clear presentation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in the life of Joseph. A clear presentation of the gospel. And we see Jesus in the life of Joseph in so many ways. If you just read the life of Joseph, you can see Jesus in every scripture as you read it. And we come to the climate story of this, a climate of a story which I truly believe we have a great application on the Great Commission. A Great Commission is fulfilling God's last command by giving the gospel to a lost soul, giving the gospel to your loved ones, giving the gospel to your co-workers, giving the gospel to your next door neighbor, wherever you're at, Christian. God has you there for a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill the Great Commission and giving the message, giving the truth to that lost soul that you run into at the store, Walmart, swamp meet. You know, we Navajos like swamp meets. And when I pulled up, I'm like, praise the Lord, there's a swamp meet right in the front yard of your church, amen. And, you know, there are people there. And you give him the gospel. You tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever there's a swamp meet, there's souls there. And you just give him the gospel. So there is a clear application on fulfilling the Great Commission. And you know the story of Joseph when he was a young man, a little man, on how God chose him, on how God gave him dreams. And as he was being raised up, he was serving God Almighty. He had faith in God and he put trust in God and he revealed his dreams to his brothers and his family members and he thought he was a crazy man, a crazy young man. You know, his own brothers probably looked at him and said, "Hey, you had too much pizza last night. You know, God speaking to you and giving you dreams? If you're in the will of God, God will speak to you. And it's not an audible voice today. It's through the power of prayer." You know, I truly believe an answer to prayer is seeking God's will. You know, it's seeking God's will. You know, every time I pray, it's always about me. God, can you do this for me? God, can you do that for me? God, I need this. You know, we need to step back and take a look at what God has for us and say, Lord, I want to seek your will and I want to do what you want me to do. And there's a reason why you're in a certain place at a certain time. You know, is fulfilling the Great Commission, giving the gospel. And here, Joseph, you know, as he was growing up, he faced obstacles, just like what we face today. You know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you know, there's no such thing as having a perfect life. You know, my encouragement to you is, welcome to the battlefield. You know, it's us against hell. You know, we got to kick down the gates of hell and press charge by telling lost souls about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And just fulfilling the Great Commission. And Joseph faced obstacles. His own flesh and blood, his brothers didn't like him. You know, they wanted to get rid of him, if you will, and just not have Joseph in their family anymore. So what did they have to? What they did is sell him to slavery. And through that, he ended up in Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, I'm sure Joseph had questions for God. You know, he's probably like, God, I'm worshiping you. I'm praising you. I love you. But what am I doing here? You know, why am I in the dungeon? Why am I in the prison? You know, there are times where we feel like we're in the dungeon while we're serving God. You know, there are times where we're like, hey, God, I'm doing your will. What am I doing here? Why am I facing these obstacles? I'm sure Joseph had those same thoughts. But as you read the Word of God, do you know what amazes me? God, Joseph never lost faith in God. He kept faith. He kept his faith in God. He continued to trust God. And then he came. I truly believe he came to the knowledge of this saying. You know, Joseph said, hey, this is not my will. You know, I'm serving you. I don't know how I ended up here. But if this is your plan, God, if this is your plan, hey, I want to be here. I want to do this. And as you read the story of Joseph, God had a plan for him. And Joseph knew that. And he just continued to serve him and continued to put trust in God. And then he ends up in Egypt. And then he reveals a dream to Pharaoh. And then he ends up being the leader. And notice that this was all God's plan. Let's go to verse 9 here. And let's read those two words, the two first words of verse 9. Read that with me. Haste ye, the Bible says. And Joseph says, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God had made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not, the Bible says. Let's hold your spot and let's go to Matthew chapter 28 in the New Testament in the four gospel books, one of the four gospel books. If you will, let's go to chapter 28 and let's go to verse 19 and let's read those two words. Matthew 28 verse 19. Read that with me. Go ye, the Bible says. Go ye. Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Thank God for that promise. Amen. He keeps his promise. You know, our promise, us Navajos, when we break promise, we call that Indian giver. You know, you give something and you take it back, even though you gave it away. God's not an Indian giver. He keeps his promise. He said he's going to be with you to the end of the world. And he was with Joseph through the end of his ministry. And that's a great application there. But those two words, Jesus says, go ye. He gives a command to the 12 disciples. And he said, hey, you disciples, make more disciples. Give out the truth and tell someone about me, is what he told his disciples. And here in Genesis 45, those two words that Joseph gives his brothers is the same thing. Haste ye. You know, in Navajo, that word haste means tskitho. Hurry, hurry, have an urgency. You know, tskitho, hindi taan which hindi taadon adil na na ebi, naadon which your chin yed, hai, aya, inga chuta, kin lati ya chin yed, no wachin. Tskitho. Say that with me. Amen. Tskitho. Haste ye. Heaven. You know, Joseph is telling his brothers to have an urgency. And Jesus is saying the same thing to the 12 disciples. Have an urgency. We need to have an urgency in our ministry, Christians. Have an urgency in fulfilling the Great Commission. Have an urgency as if you're in telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have no time to waste, Christians. Jesus is coming back, and I truly believe Jesus is going to be coming back my time. You know, that's humanly speaking, I'm crazy enough to believe that, but He's coming back. There's a real heaven, and there's a real hell, and hell is not made for you and I, Christians, so we just might as well kick down the gates of hell and press charge by telling the lost soul about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's haste ye. Let's go ye. Let's have an urgency in fulfilling the Great Commission. Telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that the Lord will spare them so I can give them the gospel. My prayer is that God will spare the ones that are near eternity in Crown Point, New Mexico, and have me give them the gospel. You know, my prayer is that they don't deny Jesus. Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm just paraphrasing what Jesus said while He was on the cross. And I thank God for second chances. I really do thank God for just second chances. But what are you going to be doing? What's your urgency? We all have urgency in different categories. We have an urgency of watching the NFL game. We all have a favorite team. I'm not against that. But there are times where I catch myself yelling at the TV for no reason. You know, my wife will catch me and say, hey, the TV cannot protect itself. The TV cannot talk back to you. So what are you doing yelling at the TV? I don't want to be yelling at the TV when Jesus comes back. I don't want to be at a basketball game yelling at a player that I don't know and have Jesus catch me. So what's your urgency? I just want to remind you in a practical message and press charge and have encourage you on what God called us to do. He called us to fulfill the Great Commission. You're a missionary to your city here, the city of Florence. And let's knock on some doors and invite someone to church. Let's knock on some doors and say, hey, I invite you to come to church. We have a pastor that loves people, and we have a family that loves people, and I want you to come and sing some good hymns and just hear a good message, something that will change your life. I thank God that this book changes lives, amen. I thank God that it changed my life and put me on the right direction. You know, I was on the direction of destruction, on my way to hell. And God didn't make hell for you and I. He made hell for the devil and his demons. And someone, I thank God for the missionary that had compassion on my heart. You know, he came and knocked on my door. He put all his personal things aside and decided to come and knock on my door and give me the gospel. You know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you have that first love. You know, that first love. And you get on the bandwagon and fulfilling the Great Commission. You say, Pastor, what can I do? You know, I want to help in the ministry. I don't want to keep this gospel, this testimony of Jesus Christ to myself. I want to do something with it. You get on fire for the Lord, and you just want to help in the bus ministry. You want to help clean the toilets. You want to bring something for a gathering at the church, maybe an activity. You want to bring something. You want to be a blessing. You want to be a help. You're having that first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You just want to be on the bandwagon and help minister. You know, and when time goes by, you start putting that on the shelf. You'll be like, oh man, I'm getting too busy here. There's an activity. Maybe we'll go to tell the next activity. Oh, soul winning? You know, pastor will be like, man, I pray for this so-and-so. He was here faithfully 2 months in a row and decided to skip a couple of soul winning. And then you end up putting church service aside. You know, God equips you with compassion when you accept Christ as your Savior. He equips you with compassion. And let's continue to have that compassion that Jesus has for the lost souls. The Lord laid a compassion on your pastor or a leader in the church to come and knock on your door and invite you to come to church. I'm so excited, and I will not trade this for the world, or I don't regret serving God and accepting Christ as my Savior. Let's have an urgency. Not only that, but let's have an obedience. Let's obey God's will, and let's give the gospel and tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's just have an obedience. And let me encourage you to haste ye and go ye and fulfill the Great Commission. Let's read them the last two words here in Genesis chapter 45, verse 9. Read the last two words for me. Tarry not. Christian, don't wait. Don't procrastinate. You know, don't put it off. When Jesus opens that door of ministering to Him in your home church, don't wait. Let's have an urgency. Let's be at the soul winning ministry. Let's be at the activities that's happening in your home church and invite someone to Jesus, to church, and give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. Ezekiel chapter 3, still in the Bible. Where are we going to have to give an account to what we did with His name, His book, His word? And if there's a person that the Lord, if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to give the gospel to that person at the gas station, and you tarry not, and you wait, and you procrastinate, and say, "Hey, I'll wait till the next soul that I run into." And if that, if they were all you got, Christian, if they were all you got, and you put it off, and you go get into a car accident down the road, and experience the last breath, not getting the gospel, and they ran right into you, we're gonna have bloody hands on judgment day. They're gonna be standing right across you. Right across you, family members, loved ones, co-workers, your Jerusalem, people that live in this area, they're going to stand there and they're going to say, "Hey, Brother Aaron, I met you. I worked with you for 3 years. I worked with you 10 years, and you never once invited me to church. You never once gave me the gospel." Your family members, "I saw you every birthday, that every time I had my birthday, you were there. Every time we gathered for Christmas, you never once gave me the gospel. You never once invited me to church, and you said you love me." We're going to take account of their blood if they don't accept Christ as their Savior, if you don't give them the gospel. You're going to stand there and try to wipe that off your pants, and you'll just, their blood will be on your hands. And I'm not waiting for that day. There are times where I ignored God's, the Holy Spirit. I ignored it. There are times where I was supposed to witness to someone and I didn't. And my prayer is that God, I don't want to ignore that anymore. I'll invite them to church. I'll give them the gospel, because we're going to take account of with His name and stuff like that. So be very careful on how you give the gospel. You know, be very careful. The Bible says that we should weep in tears in Psalms 126. We ought to beg God to use us and to break our hearts and have a compassion for your loved ones. Have a compassion for your city. Have a compassion for your neighbor. Have a compassion for your co-workers, and say, "Lord, please use me. Give me a compassion." And if you do have compassion, praise the Lord. Keep that compassion. Keep knocking on doors. Keep telling someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's better to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and let's not look horizontally. Let's look vertically and look at the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our focus there. Let's go to verse 17 here. I don't want to keep you too long. Verse 17. And the Bible says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beasts, and go, and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art command, this do ye." It's a command. "And he said, Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come." You know, Pharaoh was standing afar side and he heard Joseph talking to his brother. There was a little reunion happening. I love a reunion. When I see someone that I know, haven't seen him in a long time, I'll give him a big old bear hug, lift him up and throw him around a couple of times and shed some tears. You know, that was happening with Joseph. And Pharaoh was standing off. He goes, "Hey, I didn't know Joseph had family." You know, it's a picture. It's an application of heaven. You know, it's an application of the Lord Jesus Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission. He's all, "Joseph, hey, I got wagons here. Take these wagons." He said, "Go back to your father's house. Bring your father. Have your brothers bring their wives. Have them bring their little ones and bring them back to my castle here." I'm just paraphrasing here. You know, he said, "Bring them back to Egypt. And I have all these goods for them. Tell them about that." You know, wagons. In today and age, I truly believe that applies to us. We are the wagons, Christian. You and I are the wagons. And Jesus said to go ye, haste ye, have an urgency. Take your wagons and go to your family members and bring them to the church house, because God has good things for them. The good things is Jesus Christ. You know, take your wagon. And look at what the next verse says here. That last, the first part there. Read that with me. Also, regard not your stuff. Man, there's times where we load up our wagons with materialistic stuff. We load up things that we shouldn't be loading up. And Pharaoh told Joseph and his brothers, don't load up junk in your wagon. Keep it empty and go get your family members and bring them to the church house. Amen? That's a great commission. So let's take our wagons, Christian, and let's knock on some doors and load up your wagon with souls and bring them to the church house, because we have good things for them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling the Great Commission. Look at the next part here in verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto him, see that you fall not out by the way. Christian, my encouragement to you is keep your focus. Keep the main thing the main thing. Use your wagons. Let's not fill it up with a stereo system. Let's not put 33-inch rims on your wagon, amen. Let's not load it up with things that we don't need. Because the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about building your treasure in heaven. If you build your treasure here on earth, what's going to happen? There's going to be a new product, right? What you buy is going to rot. It's going to corrupt. You know, it's going to moth. People are going to steal from you. Let's not build our treasures here. Let's build our treasures in heaven. And the only way we can build treasures in heaven is if we fulfill the Great Commission. And let's not fall out by the way. Let's not lose focus. I thank God that Joseph didn't put bitterness or anger before his ministry. I wouldn't blame him if he got mad at his brother's pastor. I wouldn't have blamed him. He probably would have said, hey, I'm mad at you. I'm going to hang you guys. I'm going to make you guys pay for this, okay? You know, you guys sold me. You wanted to kill me. You threw me in the dungeon. I end up in prison because of you. You know, he didn't say that. He didn't fall out by the way. You know, he put God first. And he took he put God first. Amen. We ought to do the same thing and put God first. And let me close with this. Let's go to Matthew, the book of Matthew. And let's go to verse 16. Matthew 16. Let's go there really quick, the book of Matthew, and let's go to verse 16 here. If you're with me, give me amen. Matthew 16, and let's go to verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed thou art, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank God for those scriptures right there. Gives me confidence, amen. Gives me confidence. I thank God for His Word. You know, I graduated high school with a maybe 8th or 9th grade education, but I can read this and understand what God's saying to me. This is what Jesus said to the people. It's not upon Peter. Like I said, it's not about Peter. It's not about me. And I love you, but it's not about you guys. It's about Him. Peter's standing here, and he makes this so clear. Jesus is standing behind him, and he said, hey, not upon Peter. He said, upon this rock. Jesus points at himself. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And I'm so excited to go Crown Point. But if I go to Crown Point without this, you know, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Upon this rock, I want to build His church in Crown Point. And the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Look at it. What does a gate do, Christians? This is what I pictured, Pastor. Yeah, exactly. This is what I pictured, Pastor. A pastor, a preacher, or a missionary running from an intimidated gate. The gates of hell. I don't want to picture that anymore. I don't want to picture your pastor running from the gates of hell. Because a gate can only do two things. Keep someone out and keep someone in. You know? So let's press charge to hell by kicking the gates of hell down and press charge the lost souls and tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my encouragement to you. Let's fulfill the Great Commission. Let's have an urgency. Let's not regard our stuff, Christian. Let's not fall out by the way. Let's keep our focus on the Lord. And let's tell someone about the Lord the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest gift to ever put underneath the trees is Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He paid it for you and I. You can't pay your way. You can't go to heaven by holding on to your parents' clothing. You cannot make your way to heaven. You know, all those are not true. The only way you can get to heaven is if you accept Christ as your Savior. If you accept Christ as your Savior. And let's close with this saying here. Jude 22. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. Jude 22. Let's close with this. Jude 22. The Bible says here, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Let's make a difference, Christians. Let's have a compassion on lost souls. Look at verse 23. "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the" what? "Fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Let's make a difference by pressing charge of the gates of hell. Kick it down and let's press charge by telling lost sinners about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's my encouragement to you. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. Thank you for having us.
See somebody come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, "Well, you know what? I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven. I can't remember a time or a place where I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior." You know, I preached this morning that we need to take and know where we're going to go. Do you know for sure that if you were to die tonight, where you'd spend eternity? I know I do. I know that I'd spend it in heaven. But what about you? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in this invitation. Father, we heard a message from your word tonight that we need to take and go. But Father, maybe there are some here that don't know how to go. Maybe they don't know you as their personal Savior. Father, I pray tonight that they can make that decision. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe there's somebody here tonight saying, "You know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me?" Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? You know, we heard a message tonight, and it said, "Go." How many of you are willing to take and raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm going to start going out and telling as many as I possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ"? If that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand quickly, quiet. Hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being honest. Father, you've seen the hands. You know our hearts. I just pray for these that have raised their hand that said that they would be willing to go out and spread the gospel of you all over this area. Father, I just pray now that their commitment to you will be true and that they'll do exactly what they say they will. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for the Nelsons. We thank you for their testimonies. I just pray now that you'll be with them as they go to the reservation. Help them, I pray, as they lead the American Indians to to you. Thank you so much for loving us so much. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, turn our hymnal number 1.